We're going to be in Acts chapter 14 today. Turn over there to Acts chapter 14. Now, it happened in Iconium. They were together. They went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke to a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. And the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their mind against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who is bearing witness to his word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. The multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews, part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both Jews and Gentiles with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. They were preaching the gospel. Many people believed, it says, and then God was bearing witness to his word of grace by speaking, by granting the signs and wonders be done. I want to talk about this for a second because I've touched on it before. You know, what's the deal, really, with signs and wonders? Is it because we don't have enough faith? Is that what it is? Is it, what's the deal? Is it everybody can do signs and wonders? Nobody can do signs and wonders? What's the deal? And I want to say right up front that I do believe that signs and wonders still exist. I do believe that. But I don't know. You take everything that I have to say here with a grain of salt. But, well, let's just look. Let's look at 15:12. Then all the multitude kept silent, listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. God worked signs and wonders and miracles through the Gentiles. Galatians 3:5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He works miracles among them. Does he do it by the hearing of the law or by the works of faith? It's by the works of faith. Hebrews 2:4. God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders his various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Amen. Bearing witness through signs and wonders. Before I do the next two passages, let me say this. If there are signs and wonders done today, there are. I can't deny that. You can't deny that. They are granted by God. Amen. The only way that they are able to be done is by God. And they're granted by him. And they always, hear me, they always give credence to the word that's preached. Always, always give credence to the word that's preached. Through signs and wonders. Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 31. Then he said, I beg you, this is a part of a larger story, a parable that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to be in Abraham's bosom, and Lazarus was a poor man. He had sores on his body and all this kind of stuff. But anyhow, then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send to my father's house, and I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Then Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes from the dead, they will repent. But he said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Neither will they be persuaded. If they don't hear the prophets, they're not going to be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Let me read one more to you. Find it there, John chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Oh, this is a good one. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when he saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knows all men. That's a powerful verse. That's a strange verse. They believed in his name. They saw the signs that he did. They saw the wonders that he did. They believed in his name. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knows all men. He knows all men. Listen, there seems to be something in the Bible that it's only the apostles that can perform these signs and wonders. Jesus certainly didn't just go around healing everybody. Neither did Paul. In the New Testament, it was, they're called apostles. Verse 4, the very end of verse 4, Barnabas and Paul are called apostles there. Is it? I don't know. Is it? It could be. The one thing that's true, they give credence to the preached word of God, and they are done by God. They're done by God, and they give credence to his preached word. Luke 10, 19 through 21, I have this. I can't remember what this says. Behold, I give you authority. This is when Jesus sent out the 70. Jesus sent them out. The 70 went out. They came back. They were praising God. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject in your name. And so Jesus says to them, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There's a place for miracles. There's a place for signs. But they are that. They are signs. They are wonders. They are miracles. They give credence to the preached word. If the word is not preached, then they give no credence. If the word is not preached, then what are they? What are they? They're just things that the enemy could do. They're just illusions. They give credence to the preached word of God. When the multitude, the Jews, this is a little sidebar. This is the real miracle, if you ask me. Paul is stoned and left for dead when you get right down to it. A violent attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, and they became aware of it, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe, and they were preaching in the surrounding gospels there. Let me go... Let me go on there. The crippled man is a perfect example of what I was talking about with signs and wonders. About if it gives credence to the preached word, he heard the word, the crippled man. The crippled man heard the word, and he was crippled without strength in his feet, and was sitting crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. He had never walked a day in his life. This man heard Paul speaking. He heard the word preached, and Paul observed him fervently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. He had the faith. He had faith to be healed. And Paul said to him with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. He heard and he had the faith to believe. Paul said to him, stand up straight, stand on your feet and walk. And he did. When the people saw that Paul had done this miracle, they raised their voices in the Lyconian language. The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Now here's the people who hadn't heard it. They just saw the miracle. They just saw the signs and wonders. Why don't they turn to the Lord? Why aren't they turning to the Lord? Well, because they haven't heard the word preached. And so they said, the gods have come down to us. Bless God, the gods have come down to us. Zeus and Hermes and Paul was Zeus and Barnabas was Hermes and this is them. And Paul and Barnabas, they tore their clothes. They ran in among them and said, oh, men, brethren, why are you doing these things? We also are men, the same nature as you. We preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave without a witness in that he did good, and he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling hearts with good. And with these sayings and scarcely with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. When they heard this, the one had the faith to be healed. The others had, they didn't have any faith. They didn't hear the word preached, and they began to offer. Well, they brought bulls and calves, and they were going to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas, and they tore their clothes, and they said, listen, don't do that. They said, you can't do that. He said, we are men just like you are. And they told them, you have got to trust God. You have got to trust God and turn everything over to him. You have got to trust God. Now, here's the deal. Well, they said, you have got to trust God. You've got to trust in his gospel. Paul and Barnabas were unrelenting in their pursuit of the gospel and their sharing of the gospel. They were unchanging in that what the gospel is. You know, I was thinking this week about people, different people. Everybody has a story. And I know that. I know I've said that before. But the truth, Cheryl was telling me about someone that she knows. And the truth is that everybody has a story that will break your heart. And they have a story that needs Jesus. Every single person. They don't need us to judge. They need Jesus. If only I could convey to you how much this is true, that people just need the Lord and they need Jesus. If only I could convey to the world how true this is, that you just need the Lord. You need the Lord. That's the basic foundation of your life, is that you need the Lord. And he said, God has turned, he's asked us to turn from our own ways and to look to him. And he's preached to you that you should turn from these useless things and living things and be made, that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made heaven and earth. You turn from these. We got to give the Lord his proper place. His proper place. We don't do it. We give it lip service. We give it words. But God is asking for your life. He is asking for our lives. He is asking for everything that we are. We have got to give him our lives. Nevertheless, he's not let himself without a witness, who in bygone generation allowed nations to walk in their own ways. He did not leave himself without a witness, and that he did good and evil, and that he did. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness. He did good, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and with gladness. Listen, he allowed us to walk in our own ways. He allows everybody to walk in their own ways. He didn't leave himself without a witness. He gave food. He gave rain. He filled our bellies. Listen, that's his grace and that's his mercy. And God is graceful and God is merciful. And God wants you. He wants you to know who he is. He gave you food. He gave everyone food. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It says with these words, with these sayings, he could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing him. Sacrificing to Paul and Barnabas. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, they rose up and went to the city. The next day he departed. This is the real miracle, if you ask me. Now, they didn't throw some little bitty rocks. They threw some rocks. They stoned him. They drug him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Supposing that he was dead. His fellow believers gathered around him. He got up. I don't know in what shape, what condition. I know he is in good enough condition to walk the next day, to travel. That he was there. 2 Corinthians 11:25. He says in that whole list of things, he says, I was stoned once. I was stoned once. He's talking about this right here. I'm sure I was stoned once. In Galatians 6:17, he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He said, you can't tell me anything. You can't. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Paul. Bears in his body the marks. And when they preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples and returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them, continuing in faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. They went through these cities. They went back. They went through and went back again. He went back to the same cities, the same ones that stoned him. He went back to all these cities. He was encouraging them to continue. Let's not make any mistake about it. A true mark of a true disciple is one who continues in the faith. You know, I'd like to say something else. I'd like to say something different. That's not to say that you won't get off track sometime along the way, somewhere along the way, but you'll get back on. You'll get back on. The true mark of a disciple is continuing in the faith. These verses here are really just about trying tribulation. Let's do Luke chapter 16, since we already did the second part of that, the first part of that. Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid up at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumble which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was when the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted his eyes and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and he said, "Have mercy on me and Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue for the torment of his flame." I read that, but I want to bring out a different point. I mean, it's similar to that. The difference between heaven and hell. It's great. There's a great goal fixed, but they could see. They could see one place to the other. And he said, just let Lazarus dip his finger in some water and come to me and touch my tongue. And he said, no, not so. He said, well, then let him go to my brothers and tell them, no, not so. They have Abraham and Moses and the prophets. If they'll hear them, they'll hear the word of God. He was being comforted. He was being comforted by Abraham. If there's comfort in heaven, you have to know that you are in pain. If there's comfort in heaven, you have to remember that you are in pain somewhat. And this comfort is going to be greater than any pain could ever bring. That's why Paul would say, I'm hard pressed between the two, to depart and be with the Lord, or to remain alive here. If I remain with you, it's going to mean good things for your growth. But if I depart and be with the Lord, it's going to be much better. Much. I can't even tell you what he says. Much better is the words that he used. John 16:33. He says, in this life, these things I have spoken to you that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God can overcome the world. 26 through 28, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. They've come home. Now when they had come back, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported to all that God had done for them, with them, how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. They came back. They shared with everybody. Listen, y'all, God has done great, wonderful works among the Gentiles. That's us. He's done great and mighty things among the Gentiles. And now, who are we to do anything else? Stand up with me if you would. God said he wants you to turn. And he wants you to accept the things of his. He wants you to reject the things of this world. He wants you to come to know him. He wants you to come to know him and to put yourself on a track that you'll believe in him. He wants you to put yourself on a track that is not just in words, but it's also in deeds. And it's on this track that you'll find eternal life. It's on this track that you can't get off of later on, even if you tried. It is eternal life. I don't know what you need to do today. I know there are plenty of people out here right now who need to commit. Don't think just because you've given some kind of lip service to God that's scripture. But Jesus didn't commit to them because he knew all men. He wants you to commit to Him. I'm not saying you'll never make a mistake. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes daily. I'm not saying you won't make the same mistakes. But what I'm saying is, you'll get up and you'll get back on track. The same track as always. Let's sing.